first guest on a fun-filled show, our Carolinas Bureau Chief from NBC 17 in Raleigh. Good morning, Sharon.
Good morning, Stephen.
And a beautiful summer day here in Montreal. How are things down in the Raleigh area?
Melting us. We're in the middle of a desperate heat wave.
And all the lawns down there as brown and brittle as they are here?
Yes, they are.
It looks like somebody referred to them as being like shredded wheat lawns.
That's what all the lawns around here are turning into. Some of the areas are now having to conserve water because of this heat, so you can't be watering your lawns and washing cars and such things like that.
So you have to go to Ireland to see the Emerald Isle, the green fields and the lush greenery that
the
country is so well known for.
Oh, and it is so true. You know, people see postcards and photographs and television commercials about Ireland, and it does look green in those photos, but it doesn't even begin to compare with how brilliant and amazing it is in person. It's really quite lovely. I returned again to Ireland this past summer for what turned out to be the first family reunion that my family's had ever, and there are about 70 of us that showed up from all over the world, so it was terrific.
Many people are going back to discover their roots, and heritage tours are very popular.
They are, and if you look at genealogy websites, those are some of the most popular websites now, and you'll probably recall that just probably a month or two ago, Ellis Island opened up a website that apparently has been very, very popular, people tracing back their roots and people wanting to find out where they came from, and as we know, a lot of Irish are in the United States, so that's one of the popular destinations right now. It has been Ireland for years, but it's getting even more so.
They are doing a lot of promotion to get people over there.
They are, and I tell you, this summer, usually the prices, as soon as June 1st hits, because in Ireland it tends to stay a little bit cooler until you get to June, July. And nothing uncomfortably cool, but it really doesn't start warming up until latter June, early July. But this year they ended up having some really good rates on Aer Lingus and various other carriers to Ireland because of foot and mouth disease.
Yeah, it was really decimating a number of tourist destinations, Great Britain, Ireland, and particularly as well counties that were nowhere near the affected state. It was just, they were all swept over with the same brush. People said, I don't want to go there because of.
Right, exactly. And the Irish were more prudent than the British were as far as protecting their farmlands from any possibility of getting foot and mouth disease. As a matter of fact, on St. Patrick's Day in Dublin, it was the first time ever that they canceled the St. Patrick's Day parade.
Yeah, so they held it a couple of months later.
Yeah, they just held it. And it was, they really wanted to be very careful because, of course, spending St. Patrick's Day in Ireland would be a dream for many people, and they wanted to keep the tourists away so that there were, if any possibility, that foot and mouth could spread, that it would not happen. And so far, their actions have proved very well. They really don't have the problem in Ireland that the rest of these other countries and parts of Europe have experienced.
And when people are so scared that it's not a disease or something that is going to affect humans, it is strictly for cattle, and I think there's a lot of misconception about the disease as a whole.
Sure. I mean, people think foot and mouth, and then they mix up mad cow disease, and
yes,
the two are nothing alike at all. But they, you know, they have warnings when you get off the plane in Shannon or Dublin Airport, you walk over these mats that disinfect your shoes, and when you go into some of the more popular tourist sites, which were open when I was there, you walk again over these disinfected mats to make sure that you're not going to carry anything to or from, because, of course, coming back to the United States, they don't want me to carry any possibility to the North Carolina farms.
No, there's always that concern as well. Now, you toured around a number of areas, or did you just stick in one particular area of Ireland?
Well, most of the time we stayed in County Tipperary, which the song, A Long, Long Way to Tipperary, which I learned when I was in Ireland. The reason they picked Tipperary, the lyricist on that song, is just because it happened to rhyme.
It was just the rhyming sound. Well, you could sing it for us. You know, you're an accomplished singer.
Well, I only know the first word like everybody else.
and
the reason
Irish accent.
Pardon me?
In your Irish accent.
Oh, it's a long, long way to Tipperary. But the only reason they picked Tipperary and not some other county, County Cork or County Kildare, is because it rhymes.
Yeah, it's the rhyme. It just has that lyrical sound to it, and it's, of course, it's gone down in memory that people just associate the song with Ireland. It's become one of those historical attachments.
Sure, and Tipperary, if you're not familiar with the geography of Ireland, is, of course, in the Republic of Ireland, and I think some people still get confused. When I was leaving for my journey, people were saying, well, be careful because, you know, you don't know what's going on in Northern Ireland, and I think there's a misconception that Northern Ireland and Ireland are the same country, and they are definitely two different, distinct countries.
It's perception of how the media has got people to think that it's all one. It's one island, and
sure, and it's six counties to the north make up Northern Ireland, and there's borders just like you would have between any two countries. And you know, when you go to Ireland, you are not going to Northern Ireland. So, but we went to Tipperary, which is in the south of the Republic of Ireland. And it's a very lush parkland kind of atmosphere, very green, a lot of farmlands, and then castles popping up all on these country roads everywhere where you go.
Now, the castles, are most of them open for public tours?
Well, you know, there's so many castles. There's some that have been refurbished that are these fabulous places. Bunratty Castle and the Blarney Stone, where that is, there's the Blarney Castle. They're fabulous places that are open for tours. But then there's also abandoned castles that just happen to be sitting on the side of the road in some farmer's field.
Probably with lots of stories or local lore to go along with them.
Absolutely. And, you know, they've been, my uncle has a castle sitting on his land, which is sits on a river. And he doesn't really know a whole lot about it. He just knows it is very old, and it's rather small. So it wouldn't have been a big landowner back in the day when the English landowners were taking over, and it was not a big place, but depending on how much land you had was how much power you had.
Now, how many of these castles, for example, would be haunted? For example, the one on your uncle's property, are there stories of ghosts and...
No rumors at that castle, but there are other castles in Ireland, and you can actually do a haunted castle tour.
That is what I have heard. I knew somebody who took one, and it was very, very interesting.
And you can sleep it, you know, overnight in a castle, apparently haunted.
And, of course, I wonder whether they actually have hidden sound effects and try to create the whole aura of suspense and mystery, and say afterwards, look at those suckers. They all believed there was a ghost.
Hey, they would do that.
Adding a little Hollywood to it.
Yeah, you could very easily.
You could, yeah. It's, you know, I didn't stay in any castles because I have the luxury of having a lot of family that lives there. My mother and father were both born and raised in Ireland. My mom has 11 brothers and sisters. So we tended to stay with family members, which very fortunate to do that. But we did rent a car and drove all over the place. And that's an exciting thing if you've never driven on the left-hand side of the road.
That's what I was going to ask you. How hard or how easy is it to get accustomed to driving on the left-hand side of the road?
It's okay when you're on the main roads. You just kind of remind yourself. And actually, after about 3 or 4 days of doing it, it seems as natural as driving on the right-hand side of the road for us. But
I don't know, Sharon, that would scare the heck out of me around here.
Well, I tell you what, it's a quick way to not drink in Ireland.
Just think of yourself, I have to go back out on that road. I better not start seeing double. I won't know whether they're coming from the left or the right.
Exactly, and that's why you see a lot of cabs in Ireland. A lot of taxis.
Well, they had a pilot project around here to actually save on highway accidents. The idea was that they would allow all the cars and motorcycles to ride on the left-hand side of the road because, of course, the traffic safety record in the UK is better than around here. Of course, after the first month, they decided if that was successful, all the trucks and buses would start doing it, too.
And they wondered why that wasn't particularly successful.
They wondered. The government didn't
look
at that, huh?
Well, we're going to be continuing. We're coming up to 15 past the hour. We're talking with Sharon Delaney, from Raleigh, North Carolina, NBC 17, about Ireland, her heritage tour. More when we return on the Travel World Radio Show across America via satellite. This is the Liberty Works Radio Network.
Weekdays on Liberty Works Radio.
If these people were going to get in there and make a change, they would never have gotten to be president.
The Derry Brownfield Show.
They would never have gotten to even get on the floor of the Republican Convention. These people have to be in line. They have to walk in line with the little ducks that are walking along, and somebody is driving the ducks to the puddle.
Derry Brownfield.
The talk show with a country flavor.
Weekdays, 11 a.m. Eastern, on this station and Liberty Works Radio.
It's a fact. More and more vehicle accidents are being blamed on the use of cell phones while driving. Some states have made it illegal to use a phone while driving unless it's equipped with a hands-free speakerphone. That's why we developed the Navigator Hands-Free Kit that turns your cell phone into a speakerphone. It even powers and charges, and you can move it between vehicles without expensive adapters or installation. The Navigator Hands-Free Kit is a snap to install and incredibly easy to use with your Motorola StarTAC or Nokia 5100 or 6100 series cellular phone. Call 1-800-695-7698 now. Order the Navigator Hands-Free Kit for only $69.95. An optional universal kit is available for most other phones without the charger for $49.95. Call 1-800-695-7698 now. If not satisfied, return it within 90 days for a full, no-questions-asked refund. At $69.95, the Navigator is much less expensive than the adapter cell phone companies want to sell you. Call 1-800-695-7698 now.
I can read. Three little words parents and grandparents long to hear. I can read. The key that unlocks a lifetime of opportunity. I can read. The road to independence, pride, and self-discovery. Every day, thousands of children struggle needlessly. Every day, reading remains the goal, not the reality.
If you're looking for a powerful but simple-to-use home study program that goes beyond a game that hooks children on reading, you want Get Ready, Get Set, Read. Developed by a team of leading educational learning and reading specialists, the Get Ready, Get Set, and Read program guides, inspires, and integrates the best approaches for maximum success and reading results. Make a difference. Call toll-free 1-888-813-7975. Mention the station for a 40% discount. Get Ready, Get Set, Read has an unconditional 30-day money-back guarantee. Call 1-888-813-7975. 1-888-813-7975. Call today.
Overweight? Tried to lose weight? Find it impossible? You should know that dieting will never work because there is no such thing as willpower. According to the Federal Center for Disease Control, the concept that willpower will lead to weight loss is a myth and responsible for a sharp increase in obesity. There are hardcore dieters that have gone through life-threatening procedures such as stomach stapling and liposuction. It's all unnecessary. Fat Destroyer, a new easy-to-take herbal supplement, will eliminate fat, ugly cellulite, and a fat gut safely with no hunger pangs at all. Fat Destroyer naturally burns away fat. A miracle. Fat Destroyer is based on research done at Harvard University and other leading research centers, and even written up in the Journal of Clinical Nutrition. Lose weight the only way that works. To try Fat Destroyer risk-free through this special radio offer, call 1-800-851-5313. To achieve your weight loss goals, don't delay. Call 1-800-851-5313. That's 1-800-851-5313.
21st Century Radio with me, Dr. Bob Rodimus, is heard nightly on the Liberty Works Radio Network at 10 p.m. Eastern. Tune in to hear the latest about UFOs, ghosts, unfamiliar monsters, suppressed free energy technologies, and tales to inspire you and improve your life. That's 21st Century Radio weeknights at 10 p.m. Eastern on the Liberty Works Radio Network. Visit us on the web at www.21stcenturyradio.com.
Welcome back to Travel World across America via satellite this Saturday morning, 20 past the hour. Stephen Pickford with Willem Backus. Willem on the road somewhere, contemplating his life.
Yeah, I'm actually traveling on Travel World.
Yes.
I'm in the car with my friends on the way to beautiful, sunny Ontario. It's a resort town called Golden Lake. I can't wait to see it.
And, of course, so it's going to be on Golden Lake. And remember to travel on the right side of the road in Canada, not on the left.
Oh, yeah.
Don't get carried away with the talk about Ireland. Of course, when you also have to get used to traveling on the left-hand side of the road, Sharon, then if you don't have standard transmission in your car at home, you have to learn that, too.
That's true, although we made sure to rent an automatic this time. A few years ago when I went, we rented a standard, and wow, that's difficult because it's everything's opposite then.
You specify that, don't you, on the rental?
You do. You do have to select it ahead of time because the automatics go fast.
And there's very few of them in the fleet, and they charge you a hefty premium many times for that privilege when you rent cars in Europe. So you have to make those arrangements in advance. That's what I found.
Yeah, and it was pleasantly surprised that when we got there, they actually had a choice of cars, and the cars are bigger now than when I went 6 years ago. The rental choices, they've definitely catered to the Americans and the Canadians and people from the Western Hemisphere who are used to bigger is better with everything. So we noticed that there were a lot more choices with larger cars, because in Europe, obviously, the cars are tiny little cars so that they can be economical for gas.
And so, of course, it's good to hear that people are fixing the taste around to meet what the requirements are of today's consumer.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, tourism is probably one of the top industries in Ireland.
Along with telemarketing centers, because it's very true. When you get call up Starwood Hotel, Sheraton or Westin, your call is not being answered in the United States or Canada. It is being answered in Ireland.
You know, that is true. They have, and there's a lot of international people working in Ireland now, which is amazing. There's a lot of Eastern Europeans who now live in Ireland. There's an influx of so many different cultures and ethnic backgrounds. It's really a very international place now when you go to the city centers like Dublin or Cork or Waterford.
Years ago, there was such a exodus of people from Ireland. Now there's a concerted effort by the Irish government to get these people to move back.
Oh, yes.
There's an influx of people. There's a shortage of labor, and they're trying to get people to move to Ireland.
Oh, yeah. The population is growing every year by leaps and bounds in Ireland, which is such a great change because, as you were saying, there was an exodus for years, and many of my cousins, when they were graduating from high school or college, used to have to leave Ireland to find work. Well, now it's the opposite. They're all staying, and cousins who had left are now moving back home. So
and of
it's
course,
terrific.
Now with your group getting together as a family reunion, you met people that you had never seen before.
Well, actually, they would be people that I might have met 15, 20 years ago when maybe there was a gathering for a wedding or something years and years ago, but I could have bumped into them in the middle of the street and wouldn't know who they were, didn't realize they were my relative because it had been so long since I'd seen them. But there was about 70 of us that came in. We were the only ones from the United States. Some came in from England and then all parts of Ireland. And we started off our reunion with a mass. My uncle is a priest. And so we had a mass inside an 800-year-old abbey in Holy Cross, which is a tiny little town in Tipperary. And it really sort of set the scene.
It sets up the mood, and it gets everyone to feel a very close bond between all the relatives. That's a very unique way to start it.
It did, because it tends that more recently, whenever my uncle gives mass, that most of the family is there. Unfortunately, it has been for a funeral or for something, not to celebrate as much as getting together for the sake of getting together, which was such a nice change. And, of course, then from the mass, we walked exactly 40 steps to the pub that was practically attached to the church.
Conveniently located for the priest.
Exactly. And then we went to the church hall where we had a beautiful catered dinner, and we had one of these guys, these musicians who has the synthesizer and the accordion and can kind of play 10 instruments at once. And, of course, in Ireland, you got to sing. So everybody got up and sang their tune. And at about 4 o'clock in the morning, of course, mass started at 5 in the afternoon, and this kept going and going and going. And at 4 o'clock in the morning, my husband and I looked at each other and said, "We gotta go."
It was past your bedtime.
Yeah, and we were the youngest ones there.
And the others were just going right. They can party 24 hours
straight. Oh, yeah. The set dancing started. The Irish set dancing began. And my goodness, it was like a fire underneath everybody. And we eventually had to get home.
And rest up for the next day of touring and fun. And you mentioned one of your relatives has a brewery over there as well.
That's right. Right next to Holy Cross, where this little abbey is, that's where my mother's family was all born, there's a little town, actually it's a little bit bigger than Holy Cross. It's called Thurles. And that's right in the middle of Tipperary. And my cousin...
Fuller?
Thurles?
Not Fuller. No, Phillips.
No. Thurles.
Thurles, okay.
And over there you would pronounce it Thurles.
Thurles, right. Okay.
They tend to drop the H sound.
Okay. So you know which place you're actually going to.
Going to Thurles for a pint. And my cousin opened up a brewery a few years ago inside an old granary, so it's a beautiful old building, gorgeous architecture, and he has five different kinds of brews. And within his first year out, he won the International Beer Tasting Festival in Stockholm with one of his beers. And it's kind of interesting because his brewery is the first microbrew outside of Dublin, the first one out in the country.
So people heading out, taking a cycling tour, a walking tour through the Irish countryside, they can drop in and have a great microbrew.
Yes, and the name of the brewery is called Dwan's, D-W-A-N-S, and that's the family name, and it's Dwan's Brewery. And it's actually listed, if you look on Ireland's website, the Tourism Council's website, which is actually very comprehensive and very good. They actually listed on there as one of the best pubs/restaurants to stop on your way.
So they get that whole true flavor and the feel for the countryside, what people go to Ireland for.
Right. I mean, you know, everyone says, oh, did you go to Dublin? Did you go to Waterford? Well, we did go to Waterford. We didn't go to Dublin, though, because while Dublin is a fantastic place, we wanted to go to the West, which is a place I had not been to the West of Ireland growing up when I spent many summers there, and it is spectacular. If you are planning a trip to Ireland, you must plan to go to the West of Ireland. We're talking County Clare, County Kerry, which of course is where the Blarney Stone is, near County Cork, so you'd probably be heading that way anyway. But County Clare is where the Cliffs of Moher are located. And oftentimes when you see those commercials for Ireland, you see these amazing cliffs just dropping into the ocean. A very dramatic countryside, and it is certainly worth the drive. It was so beautiful, and we ended up taking three rolls of film just of the Cliffs of Moher.
With the waves crashing at their base, with the rocks, and that has that windswept feel to it, but with the lush green, yes.
Oh, yeah. The wind would take you away. I mean, very strong winds. It's the Atlantic that beats up against the Cliffs of Moher, and we're talking 500-foot drops straight into the Atlantic from the top of the cliff.
So better be careful when you get there.
Oh, yeah. And it's part of what they call the area of the West of Ireland. They call it the Burren, B-U-R-R-E-N. And the Burren area is very rocky. And back when the English generals were ruling Ireland, one of Cromwell's generals came to the West, and he said that neither water enough to drown a man, nor a tree to hang him, nor soil to bury him is what the Burren is described as. And those people who lived in the West of Ireland were considered the toughest of the Irish because they were able to survive without any farmlands. They managed to somehow grow potatoes in teeny little bits of dirt that they could find in between this polished limestone that is the landscape of the Burren.
And to survive on that, yeah, it takes some special skills.
Yes.
And, of course, to get there and to just see it, the pictures that one has in their mind of Ireland, seen it in books and on films, and it all comes to life. It's the West Coast is where most of that filming has taken place.
Yes, that is typically when people go to Ireland and they want to see what they think of in their mind as Ireland, the West of Ireland certainly gives that. And one of the famous golf courses, of course, a lot of Americans and Canadians love to go to Ireland to play golf, and there's three big famous golf courses that Americans and Canadians love to play. One of them is a course called Ballybunion. You've heard of that.
Right.
Another one is Old Head, which is down south of Cork. And then over in County Clare is one called Lahinch. And we went to go to see Lahinch, and it's literally on the ocean.
Oh.
I mean, if you sliced your ball, you could slice it into the Atlantic.
Right into the ocean. Well, Sharon Delaney, back from Ireland. Sounds like you had a great time. Family heritage. And when we come back, Hudson Fogan discovering his family heritage in Saskatchewan, going from the green of Ireland to the middle prairies of Canada. Back after this on the Liberty Works Radio Network. Travel World Radio Show continues.
This is Liberty Works Network News. I'm Jim Kern. The Tampa Tribune reports the Tampa City Council can vote it down, Congress can investigate it, the American Civil Liberties Union can protest it all at once, but the face-scanning cameras in Ybor City are not coming down, Mayor Dick Greco said Tuesday. Said Greco, as far as I'm concerned, the cameras will stay no matter how the City Council votes. The people who are opposed to this just don't understand it. The controversial program lets police zoom in on faces in the crowd, and the computer compares the electronic images to a database of mugshots. The Face-It program has drawn national criticism from concerned citizens as an unlawful invasion of their privacy. In a rare alliance, the ACLU and House Majority Leader Dick Armey issued a joint statement opposing Tampa's use of the software. We're extremely troubled by this unprecedented expansion in high technology surveillance in the United States, the statement reads. We believe the technology should not be used to create a virtual lineup of Americans who are not suspected of having done anything wrong. Another new technology that is popular with many government officials is the photo radar cameras. Congress has approved the District of Columbia's request to use $800,000 for the new photo radar cameras designed to catch speeders electronically. The use of the cameras has generated tremendous revenues, making it an attractive technology to Congress and other government officials. But House Majority Leader Dick Armey criticized the congressional support of the program, saying the federal government has no business encouraging the use of cameras, especially in the nation's capital. Armey indicated that the federal government has no authority to be involved in promoting devices that undermine citizens' privacy rights, especially the right to face one's accuser, thereby denying due process. Other reports indicate that in a few instances, the length of the yellow lights has been shortened so as to increase the number of citations. That's the news on the Liberty Works Radio Network.
If you gave away 80 cents today, would it make a difference? It would if you gave it to a child in Latin America or Africa, where 80 cents a day can mean life itself for an innocent girl or boy. Isn't that reason enough to become a Christian Children's Fund sponsor? Call 1-800-718-1313 and see how much 80 cents a day can provide for a needy child. Food, clothing, school books, proper medical care, whatever is needed most. As a Christian Children's Fund sponsor, you can extend a lifeline to a needy girl or boy. Please call now, 1-800-718-1313. Within 10 days, you'll receive a life story and a photo of a child who needs your help. There's no obligation, simply a chance to give a gift of healing and hope. All it takes to become a Christian Children's Fund sponsor is 80 cents a day and a place in your heart for a child who needs you. You can make a difference. So please call Christian Children's Fund now, 1-800-718-1313. That's 1-800-718-1313.
Calling all Generation Xers. Calling all Generation Xers.
Are you tired of search engines that return thousands of useless results? Discover intuitive searches at linkscrawler.com, where Generation Xers search the web their way. If you're between the ages of 18 and 34, you'll find interesting websites and links, including Babe of the Day, shopping, and horoscopes. LinksProwler.com allows searching the web your way. Did you know that animals rely on scents called pheromones to attract mates? Pheromone 2000 takes advantage of this fact by using male human pheromones in a unique product designed to optimize effectiveness of pheromone in colognes.
Highest concentration guaranteed.
To find out more about pheromones and to order Pheromone 2000, visit www.pheromone2000.com or call 905-304-4820 today.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome back to Travel World across America via satellite on the Liberty Works Radio Network. 34 minutes past the hour in Heritage Travel, talking this morning first with Sharon Delaney, family reunion in Ireland. And with us now is veteran Montreal newsman Hudson Foga, native of Saskatchewan in the Prairie Provinces of Canada. And he's been out to Moose Jaw, which is a Canadian prairie town that's rediscovered its history and turned itself into a bona fide tourist destination. Who would have thought it years ago? But hey, Moose Jaw is making a name for itself. Good morning, Hudson.
Morning, Stephen.
Now, what did you discover to make Moose Jaw the place that every one of our listeners will be wanting to head to for their next vacation getaway?
Well, first of all, Moose Jaw is home to the number one attraction in Canada, according to Attractions Canada, in the year 2000. Who would have thought that? This is a little town, 35,000 people, that most people have associated with locally or in Canada with a marching band festival every year, and the Saskatchewan Air Show featuring the Canadian Snowbirds. The Snowbirds are home at CFB Moose Jaw. But now Moose Jaw has really gotten in touch with its history. Things that they'd only talked about or had sort of dismissed for years, they have come to embrace and to really develop, and they've made themselves into a tourist destination. For instance, Temple Gardens is something that people had talked about for a lot of years. There was a great hue and cry when it was established in 1978. It was a dance hall from the 1920s, featuring a horsehair floor and a house band called the Tantalizing Toe Ticklers. Well, that was well known locally for people who came around from all around in the prairies to dance on Saturday nights. Plus, they had these natural underground water springs, mineral springs, 4,500 feet deep. They actually closed down the springs because of copper pipe contamination, and they were just left there to languish. But 5 years ago, they reincarnated the two of them together and put the Temple Gardens Mineral Spa with 69 guest rooms. Now, that became such a hit that they have quickly added another 96 rooms, including 24 jacuzzi spa suites featuring the mineral pool. This water comes to the surface at 115 degrees Fahrenheit. They have to actually cool it down to 104 for the outdoor pool and 100 degrees for the indoor pool, which is open all year round.
Now, this has become so popular that while there's no long waiting list, the weekends are really, really busy. People come from miles around to luxuriate in the mineral waters.
Right, for their medicinal purposes, to ease arthritis, fibromyalgia, but also they have put together several tourist packages, honeymoon packages, what have you. And I was talking to Donna there yesterday, and she says she just had gone for a walk in the parking lot, and the license plates from all over North America just lined up in a row is fabulous. You can't get a room there for a weekend during the summer and part of the fall now, but you can get weekday occupancies, and that mineral spa is, and pool, even the outdoor pool, is open in the wintertime, so you have the opportunity to go outside when it's 25 degrees below zero in the air, but 100 degrees in the pool.
And that's a great experience, just the contrast of the air temperature, the water temperature. Many people find that very invigorating.
I love it. It's the perfect way to spend New Year's Eve. And, of course, inside, it's a full spa, so you have all your various pamper packages, soaks, massages, facials, reflexology, and so on. And then there's the sights of Moose Jaw, which used to be a joke.
I mean, people said, what sights? Sights and Moose Jaw, mutually exclusive. Don't go in the same sentence.
Well, and here the town has really reached back, or maybe you should say like reached down to take advantage of its history. Moose Jaw, in the year 1882, they like to tell you, was five-tenths. But it enjoyed a boom right around the turn of the century, around 1900, notably as a transportation center. And now this is how Moose Jaw connected to Chicago by railroad. Now you combine that with prohibition in the United States and then the associated rise in gangsterism. Well, Moose Jaw became the rumored hiding place of characters like Al Capone.
Wow.
So, when it once ignored or just left to tall tales, these stories about gangsters, or there were small, thin paperbacks written like Red Lights on the Prairies, the city, someone in the Chamber of Commerce, in the business community, has recognized, look, why do we just sit around and tell these tales in the bar? Let's take advantage of them, and that, in that way, the Tunnels of Little Chicago was born. Now, we had often heard stories about Al Capone and his cohorts running around in secret tunnels under the city. Others said they didn't exist. Well, finally, they have turned it into a tourist attraction, which has been voted the best in Canada. Now, what you've got is an underground tunnel, which is fully... you go on the tour by guides who are in full dress and in full character. So you're met by a flapper in 20s dress with a Chicago accent who takes you into a speakeasy. There you sit down and you just soak up some 1920s decor, watch a little film about gangsterism, and you really get into the spirit of rum running in the 1920s. Your group
that is so cool. That's cool.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, Willem. It's you're supposed to be a group of bootleggers, and you've come to get your hooch.
That's amazing.
And the monitors are really fun, too. The flopper was telling the kids in the audience, you're a little bit young to be starting, but you come to the right place to do it. There's a lot of interaction, everyone in the group, we were in a group of 15 people, which is the maximum. Everyone gets involved, asks questions, and is challenged by one of two monitors. We had the flapper, and then we had a gangster who was dressed up in a beautiful Capone-like suit and took us through the tunnels, the various parts of it, introduced us to some weaponry and to... the communication system, etc., and told us stories about the 20s, all the while imagining that we're there to buy the booze.
Wow.
It creates the whole atmosphere. You're transposed in time. They've done a really good job of that.
They've done a fantastic job. It's been described as quite Disney-esque down there. It's all authentic. It's all very easy and accessible. I went with a group of people from Scotland and Australia and in Canada, and I asked each one of them what they thought of the tour at the end of it, which is, it's about a 55-minute tour, and 10 out of 15 said this word, funny. They just really had a marvelous, light time going through the tunnels and really enjoyed themselves.
It was an entertaining experience, and that's what they designed to produce to offer the visitor.
Exactly.
Was an entertaining experience that they were learning while at the same time having fun.
Exactly. And now the whole town has really, I mean, this is the major attraction, the one that really kind of stands out aside from the spa, which is more of an experience, but the whole town has kind of gathered around this. You know, if you go now, you come up out of the tunnels and you go into downtown Moose Jaw, they have murals depicting Moose Jaw's past all over. There's paper boys in turn-of-the-century dress hawking newspapers. They have the tours and the shows. And this is just over and above what you get if you come to Saskatchewan. Now, again, it's not usually the Disney experience. What you have to do if you come to a small town like this is to let it happen to you. You know, the people are really the attraction. Let people tell their stories. Walk around, take in the sights. I was just walking down the street in Moose Jaw, minding my own business, actually looking for some souvenirs. And I heard a young lady say to a man, Dad, come inside. They're going to demonstrate the cash carrier. So I decided, well, I have no idea what that is. Let me check it out. So I went inside what was a general store, and they're still restoring it to its state like 80 years ago. And this man was demonstrating a cash-carrying system set up on miles of cables inside of the store. So back in the 1930s and 40s, you'd come into the store, you'd be assigned a clerk who would go with you to all the departments, with you, would accompany you all around the store. You decide on your purchases. The clerk would write the bill, tally it up, and take your money from you. Then from that spot, they would put the bill and the money in a tiny 4-inch cable car on these cables and just give it a light push, and it just zooms off on these cables, and it goes off to the central cash register no matter what floor you're on. It comes back with your change in just a couple of minutes with a ding of a bell, ding, and it's there. The waiter opens the cash box, and it's there's your cash.
The now, Western experience of Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan, city reinventing itself. Hudson Foga, thanks for joining us this morning on Travel World and letting us in on a little gem centered in the prairies of Canada. We'll be back with more on Travel World across America on the Liberty Works Radio Network.
Hey, Bob, did you see the news last night?
Judy, I don't watch that stuff anymore.
Don't watch it. Don't you want to stay informed about what's going on?
Well, sure I do. But you don't learn anything from mainstream media news except what the government wants you to learn. That's why I read SierraTimes.com to get the real stories.
SierraTimes.com, what's that?
SierraTimes.com is an internet news publication with no ties to the government or mainstream liberal media. They get to the truth behind the stories and publish the real news that the liberals don't want you to see.
Oh, one of those crackpot websites, huh?
Well, not exactly, Judy. SierraTimes.com has broken several major news stories and is read by hundreds of thousands of Americans who want to know what's really going on. They cover the stories that aren't politically correct so that people can make informed decisions about elections, about referendums, about serious issues that may mean a danger to our very freedoms.
Okay, sounds interesting. So where can I find it?
Oh, you girls are so cute. I told you, if you want news with an attitude, then go to www.SierraTimes.com. That's www.SierraTimes.com.
Do you have trouble remembering things lately? Normally, there are a major amount of fat cells in your head, causing difficulty in oxygen reaching your brain. As we age, this condition worsens, causing memory loss, dementia, and worse. Memory loss is not random, accidental, or inevitable. It is reversible if treated properly. The all-natural, safe Ultra Memory is a result of research conducted at Harvard and leading universities. Studies show that the herb ginkgo can dramatically slow the effects of aging on memory and even improve memory function in healthy young people as well. Ultra Memory contains ginkgo in easy-to-take capsule form. Ultra Memory will help you live a full, functioning life. Find out why leading researchers call Ultra Memory Brain Tonic. To try Ultra Memory risk-free, call 1-800-952-3494. Call now and save an additional 20%. 1-800-952-3494. That's 1-800-952-3494.
Language is destiny. Every time you speak, read, or write, you expose the limits of your language. The words you think influence your actions. The words you use are always judged. The words you understand reveal what you know and what you don't know. Now with the Vocabulary Dynamics program, you can take charge of your verbal destiny. Easily master a world-class vocabulary, exude confidence and command of the English language, and expand your understanding of thousands of new words. And all you have to do is just listen. Developed by Scott Bornstein, international expert in language learning, memory know-how, and test preparation, Vocabulary Dynamics will unlock your genius for language and word use so you'll never be at a loss for words again. If you call now, Scott will drop the price by almost 40%. Call 1-888-813-7974 toll-free right now. 1-888-813-7974 for the Vocabulary Dynamics Program. 1-888-813-7974.
Dr. Irene Cassorla, renowned psychologist, lecturer, and best-selling author, brings her vast experience to the Liberty Works Radio Network.
Intimacy, career, children. Dr. Irene covers it all.
I have children, I have grown children, I have grandchildren. So parents, if you're listening, I want you to be careful what your children watch. I want you to be careful what movies they go to see.
I'd like to ask you a question about intelligence development.
The earliest possible exposure stimulates thinking. The mind is like a muscle. Stimulate them at their level of awareness where they can appreciate it.
No topic is off limits for the good doctor.
Hey, that's not so good. How come you're not married? You have to move it and find a mate. Are you doing anything about finding a mate? Or are you just lonely with your books?
Dr. Irene Cassorla, Fridays, 7 p.m. Eastern, on this station and the Liberty Works Radio Network.
back on Travel World, Liberty Works Radio Network, coming up to the top of the hour. And Heritage Travel and discovering places near and far this morning on Travel World. As Hudson Folger was just saying, he was talking about the change-making machine, the way change was made in general stores and the early department stores at the turn of the century. And the city of Moose Jaw and that establishment were offered big money, millions of dollars by Disney to transport to their location, either Orlando or in Anaheim. They turned them down. They wanted to maintain their Canadian heritage in Moose Jaw. And Hudson went out to Saskatchewan aboard WestJet Airlines. We had Siobhan Vinish on the show a couple of weeks ago. Good news from their front as well in this day and age when airlines are doing what they can to gouge the consumers with a hefty change fee, $100 and up if you can change them at all. WestJet just announced this week that their change fee, which had been a very low $45, has been cut in half, or a little more than half, but to $20, and that's Canadian dollars, 15 US. So a lot of flexibility at WestJet. www.westjet.com. And coming up to lunch hour and looking through Sharon Silverman's book, Pennsylvania Snacks, A Guide to Food Factory Tours, is making me hungry already. Sharon, good morning.
Good morning.
Glad to have you with us. Now, you've put together a book where you can snack your way across Pennsylvania and get an insider's knowledge of some of the great foods that Pennsylvania factories churn out every year.
And if you were going to choose a place to snack across, Pennsylvania is the state to pick because it is the snack food capital of North America. Commercial pretzel baking got started in Pennsylvania. It's the leading producer of potato chips. And if you exclude gum, it's also North America's top candy producer. So there are lots of delicious snacks from the southeast all the way to the northwest of the state. And places where you can actually watch these things get made, which, as anyone who has been on a factory tour knows, there's something very special about seeing products made right before your eyes and then getting a snack on them when you're done.
Yeah, you visit the little tasting room afterwards and stock up on some of them to take home from the gift shop. And
exactly.
It means more to you when you've actually seen how they're made. Now, these are companies that may not have a big name. These are not companies that are sold across America for many parts. These are regional manufacturers.
Right. It's a combination. Of course, Pennsylvania would not be Pennsylvania without Hershey's. So that's one of the, you know, obviously the biggest name. And you can take a tour at Chocolate World in Hershey. But like you said, there are also smaller regional producers of things like potato chips, candy, and you get to see a lot of family traditions that have been in place for sometimes more than 100 years, where manufacturing has stayed in one family and expanded sometimes quickly and sometimes slowly, but they all have their special niche and a very, very strong presence in the region.
Now, if you had to pick, if you, somebody said you had to pick just one snack food, you were allowed to pick one snack food for yourself to pass away a month with, what would be your favorite snack food?
I guess I'd have to go with the potato chip.
You're a potato chip girl, okay. And so you could eat potato chips every day.
Every day for a month?
Yeah, every day for a month.
I guess if somebody forced me, I probably could. But if you weren't a potato chip fan, you might want to combine two of Pennsylvania's specialties into a different snack food, which really would probably be my favorite, and that would be the chocolate-covered pretzel. I don't know if you've ever had that dark chocolate-covered pretzel, but since so many pretzels are made in Pennsylvania and there is some delicious chocolate manufacturing and candy making, putting those two together and biting into it is just the taste of Pennsylvania.
And they're packaged up. People can take these home. They're easy to transport.
Sure, as long as it's not 100 degrees out here, it's easy to take them home. And, of course, as we're going into the fall, candy making really gears up for the fall and through the winter until the Easter, Valentine's Day and Easter season. So that's a great time to pick up some chocolate.
Well, one of the nice chocolates here, looky here, cherry cordials, chocolate-covered cherries. That would probably be one thing that I could eat a lot of. And if I eat a lot of them, I'd probably be lying on the stomach and lying down on the floor on my stomach, yes.
Well, it was fascinating to learn that different manufacturers make that kind of candy different ways. One candy maker in western Pennsylvania, Daffin's Candies, actually uses an enzyme that they coat the cherry in a hard coating that then interacts with the cherry as it sits inside its chocolate and liquefies the center. So they're not actually introducing any liquid when they manufacture the cherry, but because of this chemical action, it liquefies to perfection on the inside. So if you're looking for a place to be decadent, you might want to stop down to Daffin's in Sharon, Pennsylvania.
Now, a lot of these factories are concentrated in the southeast. Was there a reason why they tended to locate, for example, in Pennsylvania Dutch country around York and that area?
Sure. As far as the chocolate making goes, the presence of wonderful pastures meant that there are a lot of cows in the area, hence there's a lot of good milk, and that's essential when you're producing milk chocolate. It's also a very fertile area. There are some potatoes grown in the area, and because of the Pennsylvania Dutch traditions of cooking and food, and they were the original producers of the pretzels, that those families in that area tended to go into that industry. So it was just a logical fit. And in fact, the area around York and Lancaster counties is known as the potato chip belt.
So you can just go from one factory to another. Do you need to make reservations for these tours, or are they open every day during business hours?
It's always best to call ahead, because sometimes they do have maintenance in the plants, or you might want to come on a day when large tours are not already scheduled, or if you have a group, you should always reserve in advance. So in the book, I give the websites and the telephone information. Always best to call ahead.
Now, are these suited for a particular age of children? Do they accept children of all ages on the trips, or...?
In most places, any age was accepted. What I did in the book is try to describe the tours and let the visitor make his or her own decision. There are some tours that go right on the factory floor. And if, for example, a family was concerned that young children might not stay as close to mom and dad as they should, they would probably not want them down next to a piece of spinning machinery. And in that case, it might be better for them to take a tour where you do more looking through glass. You can still see just as much, but there's not that element of, safety as a concern. So I try to include that information and let people choose for themselves.
Yeah, let them choose for themselves, and it's a very easy-to-read book in the fact that you have a map at the front with showing the various counties of Pennsylvania, and you show where the particular factories are located, and the complete information is there as to the history of the company, the contacts. You can choose based on either the destination, the region, or the type of food that you're particularly interested in to sample or learn more about.
Right, and as a lifelong Pennsylvanian, I'm a big fan of the state, and I would certainly encourage people to come not only for the food factory tours, but for the other attractions in the area. There's Valley Forge, which I know you'll be visiting in a couple of months, Gettysburg, and such a rich Pennsylvania Dutch history in the southeast, and then even up to Erie and western Pennsylvania, a lot of heritage and beautiful recreational opportunities for people to take advantage of.
Oh, yes, we'll be broadcasting later this month in 2 weeks' time, the 25th, from the Altoona area, what they're billing as the West Pennsylvania Tourism District.
Right, and the railroad area there.
Well, and then beginning of October, Valley Forge. And so a couple of Pennsylvania stories to entice our listeners with. And, of course, if you're heading to Pennsylvania over the coming months, be sure to pick up Pennsylvania Snacks, A Guide to Food Factory Tours by Sharon Silverman, out from Stackpole Books, $16.95. And what's your appetite to get you down there to tour some of the great food factories that snack food lovers like myself and like Willem would certainly enjoy.
I hope you get the chance to take a detour to some of those when you're down in PA.
We'll mark it on our itinerary. Thanks again, Sharon, for joining us this morning.
My pleasure.
And coming up to the top of the hour, and that means another week has come and gone fairly quickly here on Travel World.
Where does the time go, Stephen?
Oh, all too soon, like all great times. our hour of sharing discoveries must come to an end. To paraphrase...
That Moose Jaw segment from Hudson Fogo was really good.
Oh, we learned a lot about an area of this continent that nobody would have ever thought had anything to entice them there, and there is, which shows... that there is something for everyone, no matter where in America. Next week, we'll be talking to Robert McBride from Bellows Falls, Vermont, talking about ghost tours and the transcontinental trip of a lifetime down to Mexico in 100-degree weather. That's next Saturday, 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific, for the Travel World Radio Show. I'm Stephen Pickford.
I'm Willem Backus.
Happy traveling, everyone.
Heard on